As parents, most of us think we know our kids inside and out. And like all of us, our kids have needs, fears, dreams, and desires. But according to our host, Trace Embry, there could be some things that we really don't know about our kids at all. Things that they really want us to know. Coming up next, we'll discuss 10 things that kids wish their parents knew more about them. I'm Rich Rozzle, and this is Licensed to Parent. Licensed to Parent is the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a residential treatment facility for troubled teens, and Trace Embry is the founder and executive director of Shepherd's Hill. And Trace, you say there are 10 things that parents don't know about their kids, but that their kids really want the parents to know. What are some of these things? And I dare say you kind of face these all the time here, don't you?
Yeah, I really do, Rich. I guess we're kind of a buffer between the parents and the kids, and they can bounce some things off of us without feeling threatened that maybe they don't feel like they can share with their parents. And this is not an exhaustive list by any means. It's a broad generalization. 10 things I think that if parents could understand this a little bit better about their kids, hopefully it would mend any situation that might be awry.
Well, let's run down the list real quickly, and then we can sort of unfold each one and see what we've got.
Well, the first one would be how much kids are hungering for a relationship with you, the parent. Number two, how much they want boundaries. They want discipline. This is something that we'll talk about because I know there's people out there listening thinking,
not my kid.
No way. How much they really doubt the God you believe in.
Ooh.
That's a toughie,
yep.
but they really would like to discuss some of those issues. How much they really want to be mentored by you, not just the pastor or the youth worker, but by you, parent.
You're talking spiritual mentoring in those cases.
Absolutely.
Right.
How much they really hate church and hate Sunday school.
Mm.
How much they really fear and hate going to school. And I put an emphasis on fear because it's really not about academics. Number seven would be how difficult it is to stay sexually pure. That's probably not a real surprise, but I think what parents need to know is how difficult. I mean, this is tough. How much they want you to limit your and their technology. I know that sounds crazy too, but we'll get back to it. How much they wish they could trust you for truth and wisdom.
Ooh.
Now, that's
a bit painful.
That is a bit painful. And then finally, how much kids really do want to spend time with their parents?
Well, there's your list. Now let's go through each one and explain them. And the first one is, how much kids are hungering for a relationship with you, the parent? Explain what you're seeing there.
Well, first of all, I think as the kids get older, I don't think parents think the kid really wants to spend time with them anymore. They have their friends and their hobbies and all those other things.
Yeah.
But there is an intrinsic hardwiring in them that I don't care how old they are, they really want a deep relationship with you. But it's not maybe the relationship that you think. Parents make the mistake of thinking that they want another friend. And that really is not the case. They want a parent-child relationship. They want someone they can go to for advice. They want a counselor, a mentor, a pastor, someone who's older and wiser and more experienced in life that they can go to with some difficult questions. Because, you know, I tell kids all the time, you're 16 years old, Junior, I'm 56. I've been 16. You've never been 56. Good chance I can share some things with you that will help you get to 56.
Yeah.
And they really do want that, but that's the spiritual side of who they are. Sometimes that has to be kind of pried out of them through initiation by parents who demand dialogue. You know, look, put that away. We're going to talk a little bit, you know, and that's okay for parents to do that.
I've had to remind some younger parents, we've been in conversations about this issue of, you know, I want my son to, you know, consider me his best friend, this, that, and the other. And I've had to remind them, you know, when your kids are grown, you enter into a new type of relationship with your child. And that is quite often where the friendship comes in.
Yeah.
And you certainly want to be friendly toward your child.
Sure.
But again, as you just said, you cannot place friendship at a higher level than parentship.
No, that's exactly right.
Just made up that word. But anyway, you know, parenting has to be the primary relationship.
Yeah.
And if it's to the exclusion of a friendship, that may be necessary at
times.
That's
right. And I don't want people to think that we can't be friends with our kids, or that it's the unpardonable sin to be our kid's best friend. Just make sure that first and foremost you're their parent first, right, and you don't blur that line of demarcation there.
All right, let's move on to number two, and that is how much our kids want boundaries or discipline. Mm. And again, I would say not my kid.
Yeah, and I think 99.99% of parents listening would probably say the same
right.
thing. But it does go back again to that spirit-flesh dynamic, the fact that our kids, have a carnal aspect to who they are, but the flesh is not the sum total of who we are as human beings. We do have a spiritual part, the deeper part. Pop psychology would say the subconscious or the id or whatever you know they want to call it. But this is the part of the kid that really wants to know what structure is all about, really wants discipline. I mean, it's kind of like the athlete that wants to win the gold medal but just doesn't have the discipline enough to go through the training, so he hires a professional trainer. Mm-hmm. Well, we have professional trainers as kids, and they're called our parents, if they will take on that role, and consistently. That's so key, that parents are consistent in their role with love and discipline, which shouldn't be divorced from one another. Think about this. It gives our kids a sense of security when they have a consistent love and discipline, especially the discipline part, believe it or not. Because think about this, Rich. If you could vote traffic lights in or vote them out, what would you do? Because they will all tell you, I don't like stopping at traffic lights. I don't want to stop. But if they voted them in or had the choice to vote them in or vote them out, every one of them would vote them in. And our kids are the same way. They had to do with discipline and without it, with boundaries, without it, they'd vote it in.
And again, with the term boundaries, we're not talking about restrictions per se. We're talking about framework. We're talking mm-hmm. about structure and the important word that you mentioned, consistency.
Right.
So it crosses a lot of boundaries there.
Yeah, and you've heard me say this on the program before. Kids really do want someone who is older, wiser, bigger, stronger, and more determined to do right than they are to do wrong. Mm. That's where their sense of security comes from.
Okay. Well, number three on the list, you say, is how much they really doubt the God you believe in. Now, why do you say that? Why would our children, if we're living lives for Christ, if we're living out our faith in front of our kids, why would our children doubt the God that we believe in and that we teach them about?
Well, because everywhere they turn, other than mom or dad, the media, public school system, entertainment, internet, everywhere they turn, on and on and on, the news media, their coaches, their teachers, their neighbors, there's a totally different set of values. And those values really, it goes back to the postmodern worldview, which says, do what you want to do. If it feels good, do it. And it is massaging that carnal side of who they are. It feels good. It's easier to do that. So consequently, they do gravitate that way, and God is basically cheating them all out of that fun, out of all that fun. Besides that, they see a lot of hypocrisy, that this Christianity thing just doesn't work in their minds. I'm speaking through the eyes of a child here. But without being judged, they want to ask the difficult questions. They really do. But they feel they're going to be judged. They need some satisfactory answers to the tough questions of life, to the tough theological questions that websites like xchristian.com, our kids can get on the internet, and there's any number of websites. Xchristian.com is one. I don't suggest you go to it. But they bring up about every conundrum under the sun in Scripture and try to twist these young, impressionable minds in knots. Of course, it happens in public school. It happens in college. And we parents, for the most part, aren't equipped to answer some of those difficult questions. Now, guys like Robbie Zacharias and Norman Geisler and, some of these, of course, there's answers to all these things, but the average parent doesn't have those answers. Kids, how often do they hear, let me pray with you, from their parents? Mm-hmm. I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. These are things that legitimize the faith and would give them more trust in the God that we serve. But unfortunately, a lot of parents, again, are too busy doing what they do to entertain, just like the kids.
One thing that just came to mind when you were saying how often do we pray with our teens or for our teens or even our younger children, I guess I would, just reflecting on my own life, I would add to that, how often do we really pray with them?
Well, no, you're...
I was just going to say... I mean, I've done this myself, and I'm sorry to have to admit it, but you kind of get into a rote prayer of, you know, we pray with our kids at bedtime every night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I try to be intentional in that, where we will, lift up our kids, lift up their needs, their lives, the struggles they're facing, and ours as well. But how often do we really do that? And then, to make it even more challenging and condemning for the fact that I often fail in this, how often do we go back and review those prayers and say, you know, a month ago we prayed about this, and I want to show you what God did, right, you know, in Dad's life as a result of that? Because if our kids see us praying and they're all empty prayers, right, and they don't ever see the results, even the results may be all around them, but they're not aware that those are the results.
Right.
Then you know, how do we?
It's called documentation. You know, it's okay to document that stuff. But here's even a more critical issue, is knowing the reason for prayer. I think sometimes we have this idea that the reason for prayer is that God answers them for our, according to our expectations, as opposed to getting to know Him better. You know, we pray with our kids sometimes, and we pray for ourselves to get stuff. And yeah, we think that's what prayer is all about, that God's our little genie in the bottle. I like what Oswald Chambers says, and this is going to maybe shake some people up, but he says prayer doesn't change things as much as prayer changes us and we change things. Mm-hmm. The idea behind prayer is to develop an intimate relationship with God so that you get into God's stride, and that's how Jesus can say, you know, ask me for anything, I'll do it. Chambers says something else, basically, when we get to a deep relationship with God through prayer, our common sense decisions become His foreordained decrees. Mm-hmm. Now, that's deep stuff, I understand that, but I think it's really critical for we as parents to help our kids understand that prayer is helping us getting into God's stride, not God getting into our stride.
Yeah.
Getting to know Him, wow, better, so that we can, when we do pray, we know those prayers are going to be answered because they're, yeah, going to be the perfect will of God.
And by the way, that is a lovely transition into number four, which is that our kids really want to be mentored spiritually by the parents.
Boy, they really do. They really do. And I think we make the mistake of pawning all this spiritual stuff, quote unquote spiritual stuff, off on the pastor. And really, when you go back to first century church, you'll find out that church was really supposed to be more of an interaction, a dialogue, and participation. But I think it's just how we're wired up as kids. We want our dad to be the guy with all the answers. You know, if you ever watched that movie, It's a Wonderful Life, and
yeah,
George is young, and he goes into the drugstore, and he sees the sign, he's in a dilemma, ask Dad, he knows. It's an advertising for cigars. And it's a relationship builder. When your kids know that you can be counted on for some of those deep questions spiritually, wow, it's a faith builder as well, and it's a confidence builder in our kids.
We're talking about a top 10 list of things that our kids really wish their parents knew about them. And this list is unfortunately getting right to the core of me. I'm seeing holes in our own fabric sometimes when we look at this. We have made it up through number four. We've got 5 through 10 still to come, and we'll do that after our break. You're listening to Licensed to Parent with your host, Trace Embry. I'm Rich Rosel, and we'll be right back after this. Hi, I'm Rich Rosel, co-host of Licensed to Parent. The conversations and the teaching that you hear on this program come from the daily experiences gained at Shepherd's Hill Academy, the Christ-centered therapeutic boarding school founded by our host, Trace Embry, that serves troubled teenagers from all around the world. Teens come to Shepherd's Hill struggling with depression, oppositional defiance, ADD, ADHD, cutting, digital addictions, and any number of other behavioral disorders. Yet by God's grace, and by using the scriptural principles that we discuss right here on Licensed to Parent, these students experience healing. Not only that, many are graduating medication-free. At Shepherd's Hill, we're cultivating the soil of our students' hearts so that the seed of God's Spirit can take root and bear fruit. And on Licensed to Parent, we're equipping you to be the parent your child needs. Please join us in this important outreach by visiting us today at licensedtoparent.org. Your tax-deductible contribution can rebuild the hearts and lives of teens and their parents in today's troubled culture. Don't wait. go to licensedtoparent.org and click donate at the top of the page.
This is Kevin Swanson from Generations with Vision, and I want to say that Shepherd's Hill Academy is a wonderful opportunity for the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the reconciliation of our young people with God, reformation of life, the ministry of the Spirit of God, and radically changing lives. And by the grace of God, this is what happens with Shepherd's Hill Academy. And we want to praise God for what these folks have been doing.
Shepherd's Hill Academy serves families with teenagers in crisis. If you have a situation you need help with, go to helpmytroubledteen.org and click on Inquire Now. That's helpmytroubledteen.org.
This is Licensed to Parent, where we're talking about the top 10 things kids wish their parents knew about them. We're afraid to tell, perhaps? I don't know. I'm Rich Rosl, and Trace and I have made it up through number 4 on our list of the top 10, so on to number 5. Trace, you say that our kids wish we knew how much they really hated church and Sunday school, and that doesn't sound very good.
No, it isn't very good, Rich. Ken Ham wrote a book, Already Gone, and he claims that 2/3 of our kids are going to be leaving church as soon as they can. New converts to the faith in the teenage population only stay in church 8 to 11 weeks. And a lot of that is precisely because of Sunday school, not because of sex, drugs, and rock and roll, but because of Sunday school.
Well, now, I see young adults, though, that come in their 20s, let's say, and they really are on fire for Christ and seem to last a lot longer. Do these kids come back?
Well, the ones that are really on fire for Christ who are getting, for lack of a better term, spiritual nutrition at their youth group or the Sunday school or church.
Or from their parents.
Or their parents. They're going to be there. The problem is we too often do the 5 minutes of Bible and 55 minutes of bells and whistles and loud music and pizza and just fun and games. And there's nothing wrong with fun and games, but when these young people are coming to church, they're wanting something deeper. And as Ken Ham explained to me, and I explained to him as well, because I see it all the time, when we really give these kids some meat to chew on and apply biblical principles to the real realities of life, they're on the edge of their seat. Mm. They want truth. The word on the street in their world is, let's keep it real. They want something real, something to hang on to. The world isn't giving them that. Yeah. And unfortunately, the church isn't either. But they're coming to church and seeing hypocrites, phonies, people who they know prepared their Sunday school lesson 5 minutes before they showed up for church, making it very boring. How committed can that person be? Well, then why should I be committed? You know, if this is how serious they're taking their faith. Snooty, unspiritual. And then there's the guilt factor. You know, heck, I can live like this outside of church without the guilt, you know? And then, of course, there's cliques, and they see a lot of undisciplined, chaotic behavior from the kids. Kids on cell phones while the youth workers trying to teach them something, and things like that.
Well, our next one, number 6, is like unto it, and that is that kids are also saying that they really fear, and that's the key word, fear, and hate going to school. What's going on there?
Yeah, I think the anhedonic state that our kids are in today from being entertained into imbecility is part of why they hate going to school, but the fear is the bigger thing. It's not, again, because of academics so much as it is the bullying, the unstructured, chaotic, undisciplined affair that it actually is, going back to the same reason that they're leaving youth group. There's no structure, and that goes back to the fact that kids want boundaries. They feel vulnerable at school. All the sex and drugs and rock and roll, the peer pressure to participate in these things that deep in their spirits they really don't want anything to do with, but they feel like they must, and then they're kind of bit by the vampire. They acquire a carnal appetite for this stuff, and then, you know, habits become addictions, and, you know, then it's a spiral downward that way. There's a lot of techno stress, you know, keep up with your email and your Facebook and this and that and the other. And it's just an unsafe environment that the kids are going into. And I don't think a lot of our parents really realize how they feel about that.
Well, you've just led into the next two items on our list. And number 7 is that kids really have a great deal of difficulty staying sexually pure. That's one of the things, peer pressure and other things leading into it. Unfold that for us.
Yeah, you know, these kids are tempted like no other generation in history. You know, they got pornography. I mean, hardcore pornography that's bombarding them. You know, they flip on the internet, and I know there's filters and things like that, but, you know, kids get around that stuff, and maybe the neighbor's kid, his internet isn't filtered, or, you know, so it's everywhere. If you think your kid hasn't seen pornography, you're fooling yourself. It's there. It's everywhere.
But the temptation isn't just in seeing it. I mean, they're also facing their friends at school who are saying, you know, I believe the phrase is, you know, hook up. Let's hook up, which doesn't even require a relationship.
No.
Let's just have sex for the fun of sex. And if it's that prevalent at young ages.
Very young. And, you know, again, back to the spirit flesh, it really is tearing them apart. And this cutting issue, where kids are cutting on themselves, this usually does go back to some kind of sexual abuse or participation that they know is not right. And they hate themselves for it.
Well, the next one, number 8, is about another type of addiction or abuse, and that is how much technology our kids have. And you're saying that our kids want us to limit their technology, and I frankly find that hard to believe.
Yeah. No, they really do, because time that is spent away from technology is time that they can be, that they spend with you, and they do want to spend time with you. They want us to model restraint first, though. You know, I think the highest demographic for Facebook right now is women 45 to 60. They want us to exercise restraint, prudence, and balance, and tech etiquette, you know, because after all, when they see us, parents, operating all these gadgets at the expense of quality time with them, then they're just thinking, what the heck? I might as well go get on my gadget and you know, and it becomes a vicious cycle. So there are things that we can do, like mealtime, check the devices, try a fast from some of this stuff for maybe just a day or part of a day. You can determine that. And check these items. I got to a point with my family where they come over for Christmas or Thanksgiving or whatever, and it's one big techno fest. And I'm thinking, here I am enjoying, you know, my Thanksgiving day or whatever the case may be, and no one's talking to me because they're on their gadgets. And I said, here's the deal. Next Thanksgiving, you either show some balance or we're checking them at the door, or, you know, Red Lobster would love to have you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Trace, our 9th item on our top 10 list here is that our kids wish that they could trust us for truth and wisdom. How has that shown itself?
Yeah, this is a tragedy. I mean, you know, especially for men, we have a crisis in America concerning manhood. They call them Peter Pan males, guys that just didn't want to grow up. Women are taking on responsibilities that men should really be doing, but they choose to indulge in so much irresponsible behavior. Video games and all the stuff that we talked about earlier. But our kids see through a lot of the bad decisions that we make. They see us not acting prudently. They don't see us seeking out the deeper issues of life through scripture or prayer or even just some good books. They notice that we don't model the things of God. They notice our narcissistic behavior. They observe our undisciplined lives. And you know, we need to grow up and we need to wise up as parents.
Well, that brings us to the final item on our list. And by the way, number 10 and number 1 are very similar. Our first item on the list was that our kids wished we knew how much they were hungering for a relationship with us. But you say that number 10 is our kids really do want to spend time with us. What's the difference here between the time and the relationship?
Not a lot. Time spells love to these kids. Time is what is needed to develop a relationship. I suppose they need the time first. But, you know, we make the mistake, again, I repeat, thinking our kids don't really want to spend time with us, or it's not all that important, but it really is. I was teaching a parenting class for the Department of Juvenile Justice, and we had a group of parents, and I asked them this question: would your kids rather have a $100 bill and drop them off at the mall, or 1 hour with you at a local park on a swing or a teeter-tot or something like that? And of course, every answer was, well, my kid would take the $100 and drop them off at the mall. And I said, what if I said I think they would rather have you keep the $100 and just spend an hour with him in a park. I had a lady pipe up and she says, "You don't know my daughter. She'll take the $100. I said, "She's in the next room. I've never met her, but she's in the next room. I'll risk the embarrassment if you will." Brought her out, asked her the same question, didn't miss a beat. She said, "I'd rather have the hour in the park with my mom." This girl didn't even like her mom. Didn't even like her mom. I mean, after all, they were involved in the Department of Juvenile Justice. You know, there's another story. That's a true story. This one, I don't know if it's true or not, but this is indicative of how we as parents perceive things, especially if we're in business for ourselves or we're out there trying to be upwardly mobile or whatever. But it's a story of a guy who had his daily planner filled from 5 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day and traveling up the corporate ladder, and his kid wanted to go fishing with him. And dad kept putting him off. And finally one day, dad just keeps the Friday planner free and takes Junior fishing. Well, a couple of years later, dad has a heart attack and dies. At the funeral, Junior was asked, "What's the most important, most memorable time you ever spent with your father?" And he said, "The time I spent with my dad when he took the whole day off of work just to take me fishing." Well, I don't know how long after that it was, but they were going through dad's belongings to parcel it all out, and they found, came across his day planner. And so Junior turns to that Friday on his day planner. And Monday through Thursday, of course, was just loaded with activities. Friday had one entry: took Johnny fishing, wasted day.
Oh, man.
That's the kind of story it takes for us as parents to be raised from the dead, so to speak.
Yeah.
That's what our kids are looking for. We have got to limit what we think is pursuing the American dream that we, by the way, have turned into the American nightmare, and invest a little time back into what really is important.
Hmm. You've been listening to Licensed to Parent with our host, Trace Embry, the founder and executive director of Shepherd's Hill Academy, which is a residential treatment program for troubled teens located in Martin, Georgia. And we come to you each day on the Licensed to Parent program to do our best to make common sense common again, to bring back the reality of God's Word, and to empower you to fight against what culture may be telling you so that you can raise your kids in a way that would honor them, honor you, and of course, honor the Lord. If you'd like to find out more about the program or Shepherd's Hill Academy, please visit us online at licensedtoparent.org. That web address again, licensedtoparent.org. You'll find lots of resources there, archives of our programs, connections to our blog, ways to connect with us via Facebook and Twitter, and many other parenting resources. You'll also find on that site a link that says donate up at the upper right-hand side of the page. And I encourage you to go there and consider prayerfully becoming one of our ministry partners, because as you re-equip yourself to be the type of parent your child needs and the type of parent God would want you to be, we'd like you to help pay that forward and help us equip other parents to do the same for their kids. We sort of jokingly say here from time to time, we'd rather equip the parents so that we don't have to deal with the kids by having them come to a residential facility for a year. But if you could join us in this ministry outreach, we would certainly be grateful. Again, the website, licensedtoparent.org. And with a closing comment, here's our host, Trace Embry.
Folks, I just want to remind you again, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you next time.